What's happening, everybody? Welcome into the Portland Winterhawks podcast, season 4, episode 11. I'm your host, Andy Dirk Johnson, and this is the one we've all been waiting for. Playoff hockey is back in Portland, baby. We got home games coming next week, but it all starts this weekend up in Prince George. Game 1 Friday night, game 2 Saturday night. And joining me on this episode, as he does on every episode, my buddy, my pal, the voice of the Winterhawks, Nick Merrick. And buddy, before we get to a million things we can dive into, the other playoff matchups, X-Factors for this series, keys, all that kind of stuff. Before we get to it, little bit of a journey to get up to old PG. When you see the playoff bracket come out, you're like, all right, long time on the bus. How did the trip go? How long did it take? How are we doing up in PG?
No, bus trip's not bad. You know, when you're getting ready for playoff hockey, it goes by a lot quicker, to be honest. So it's nice that, you know, it's kind of segmented in two different parts, so it made it a little bit more manageable rather than just shooting straight on up, which is good. Because it just keeps the bus legs fresh. You get to get out and stretch a little bit. And I think you can easily tell everyone's ready to go. It's a different focus this time of year. So I think everyone's anticipating this puck drop on Friday night.
I would imagine so. I love let's make some pit stops along the way. That helps things a little bit when you're able to kind of loosen everything up and you're not just sitting there for seemingly forever. Your first thought, buddy, when you see, I mean, we knew it was up in the air last time we talked 2 weeks ago. We knew it was going to be our last episode of the regular season, and I jokingly kept asking you, you know, hey, what do you think of matchups? And you're like, dude, I got no clue. It could be this team, it could be that team, they could be here, they could be there. I got no idea. So you find out, hey, Prince George, first thought that pumps into your head as the Winterhawks get ready to take on a familiar foe in the playoffs.
I don't know what the first words are, but, man, there's a lot of history with these two teams, yeah, especially in the postseason, and how much they've had to play against one another. Obviously, the Winterhawks have had the upper hand recently, but this is a Cougars team that, you know, it's really good. Like, coming into the season, I think everybody said it was going to be Prince George versus Medicine Hat was, like, pretty much every single person's WHL final at the beginning of the year. So they kind of started the season with that big-time contender mindset, and they're still very much there. They made some good additions at the trade deadline. You know, they got Ben Wright, who's probably the most notable one, right? And a 19-year-old who's over a 30-goal scorer for them. So they have four players who could score. Winterhawks have three guys over 30 goals, you know, Buttazzoni, Zakreski, and Chizowski. I think it's just an opportunity kind of weekend again. Like, from my perspective on a comm side of things, you look at it and you're thinking, okay, well, you start in the road. If you get one of these games, you know, even though you're the underdog seed going into it, right? Because you don't have home ice. Mm-hmm. But if you steal one game, you could potentially flip home ice right with that one game back into your advantage. So in a sense, it's as long as there's no fear going into that first game, right? Like, it's almost like the mentalities from both these teams are going to be big. Is it going to be a Prince George team that's extremely hungry and ready to roll? Is it going to be a Portland team that's more hungry? You know, who's kind of more mentally prepared for this initial jump into the playoffs? Because there's always a little bit of a shock. Like, I feel like on my broadcast past couple of years, it's been that first and second period. There's a little bit of that feeling out process with the teams, right? Like, I'd expect that again probably on Friday. But then if some team could jump out early, then all of a sudden you get this first chance at momentum. I think it's going to be it's going to be back to your typical playoff style hockey games, which is phenomenal because we saw that in pretty much all four games between these two clubs this year of how intense it was for different reasons. I remember when I was here in October, I went down and I was joking with the players after they came back and they scored those four goals to go to overtime and then win it in the shootout. And it all happened like at 13 and a half minutes or something like that, which I remember talking with Andy Kemper and we couldn't remember the last time, four goals have been scored in a comeback like that. But he was like, it's been for sure, at least when he was looking back, he thinks since like the early 80s.
Wow.
Cause that's so hard to do. And I go down to the locker room and I'm like, geez, boys, like you're gonna give me a heart attack. I thought I was kind of like, I went into this week, like being like, I pushed it too hard opening weekend. I was too excited for the season to come back. You know, I gotta calm down a little bit. Like, I know I'm excited. And then I was laughing. I'm like, hey, thanks for that one, guys. Like, I was literally, got a call, like a playoff, championship game because of the craziness there. So I've had a little bit of a taste of it, too. So I'm excited to see kind of what different theatrics come for this weekend series up in Prince George.
Well, I'm glad you brought up those games because that's what makes this a little bit interesting. There's obviously the playoff history between these two teams, and they've met, it feels like, 5 years in a row. I know it's not that, but they've seen a lot of each other in the playoffs. But
right,
you mentioned early in the year, I think that's maybe one of the hard things where if you're a Winterhawks fan, you're probably going in with some confidence because I believe Portland won all four four regular season games in the matchup. But to your point, three of those came in the first, 2 weeks of the season. Like, we're talking the home game on October 5th, and then they went up to Prince George, had that great comeback win, one of them in overtime, one of them in a shootout. So is there anything you take from that? The teams are so different. It seems like the makeup of both are a little bit different. Is there a confidence that comes with Portland from winning those games? Is there anything that you think that they can lean on from that experience, even though it was seemingly 5 months ago?
I think it's a yes and no on that one, which is a typical way of, you know, of saying we really don't know.
Right.
But it's there are both points I think could be true. It just depends on the lens you're looking at, like you bring up, Andy. Like, if you're Portland side and you look and say, hey, we got some wins against this team. We went 4-0 on the season against them. Yes, one was in overtime. Yes, one was in a shootout. But you're still thinking, okay, well, we won those games. Wins are wins, right? When you get to the postseason, records really don't matter. It's just survive the 7-game series and keep advancing. So if you have that mentality, it could help. But then also on the flip side of it, it could also make a team overconfident, right? Like, you can't just be like, ah, we won four against them, no problem, because it's a different intensity. So you might have a little bit of a mental edge there, though, if you play it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of the rosters being changed, you're kind of right on that point. Like, Cohen Ziemer, I remember he was returned from the LA Kings organization, like, just in time for the Winterhawks series. So he was kind of just getting back up to his, you know, his team systems. And you could tell, like, he came in with a different energy because he's playing against quicker players. So he felt like he had an extra step. And Ziemer was really good in both those games. So it's not saying he was off his game by any means. It was probably almost the exact opposite. But it always takes the player a little bit to resettle into the systems. And obviously, he had a terrific season. So yeah. I think that was a little bit of an X factor early of, like, what he would look like coming back from pro. He was very good. And then when you get to Ben Reich, who has not played against Portland this season, they have played against him when he was in Saskatoon last year and I think Victoria the year before. So they have familiarity with him, but not to the level that he's performing at now, right? Because he's a couple years older in his 19-year-old season. So he'll be the true new player to this series. But then even like Alex Weiermeier and Joel Plante, they did get a game against him in that December matchup. So you have a 1-game sample with it. But you know, in terms of your point, like, there's the rosters. I think it's impossible to have the roster the same as those. So there's going to be some kind of a tweak. On Prince George's side, the easy one's Ben Reich. And then they traded away a couple of defensemen. They've changed their defensive core just a tad. On Portland's side, obviously, you've only had about 1 game with Weiermeier and Plott. Yaremko is in the lineup then. He's not in the lineup now. You know, so there's a little bit of those changes there. Just to kind of see how it feels out. But I think it's funny because of the history. It's three of the last four playoffs, Andy, is how much these two teams have played. And every single series, there's been a storyline, right? Like,
yes.
It was like Taylor Gauthier's return to his former club when the Winterhawks acquired him at the deadline. Then last year, you're going for the Western Conference Championship. The winner would go on to play in the finals, which then we knew was Moose Jaw, but, you know, it was likely to be the Western Conference would be the first team to punch their ticket there. So, you know, they would have awaited to see if it would have been Saskatoon or Moose Jaw. So it's kind of exciting with how much history and buildup these teams have and the players in the locker room have. Like, Chizowski, Thompson, and Zakreski were a part of all of the playoff series recently against Prince George.
That's crazy.
And I think it was Riley Height and maybe Cohen Ziemer for Prince George. So you have, like, even just those two players having experience in all of the series, like, they could take a little pieces with them and see what happens.
That is so funny to think about. You've seen, you know, guys who, it's rare to go to the playoffs that many times in a WHO career, let alone play the same team that many times in a WHO career at some point in the playoffs. I mean, you know this Prince George roster far better than I do. I'm just curious to ask you, when you look at, because you mentioned it coming into the year, they lost in the West Final to Portland last year. They were expected to take a big jump. Not that they had a bad year. They just got clipped by Victoria at the last second in the regular season to not win the division. They end up the 4 seed. Is there one or two matchups that you look at for Portland that you think is an advantage for them against Prince George? And again, granted, we haven't seen them play with this collection of players very much this year because those matchups came so long ago. But when you look at specific matchups in the series, is there one or two that stand out to you that you think, man, if Portland's going to win it, I like it because of this or that?
I think for Portland, they need to do a good job of winning special teams. I think that's going to be a big key in this series, because I don't know how much we're going to go, you know, see special teams hockey from either side. I think it's going to be, you know, you'll get the extra chippiness, but these two teams can be pretty disciplined against one another. The hard part is, as I'm staying that point, I know in the regular season, I think both teams only scored one power play goal against one another. So it's kind of why I'm bringing up this point. Like, four games, you only get one power play goal if you're Portland, and four games, you only get one power play goal if you're Prince George. I think the Winterhawks are like 1-for-19 on the power play. Cougars right around there as well. So it's interesting because if that's an area that some team can kind of capitalize on, I think that's going to be a huge key to the success. So I'm definitely honing in on that. I think 5-on-5 play is going to be really, really tight. The good news, I think a big X factor for Portland is having their veterans back who made this run before. Obviously, you know, the Cougars made it as far. They just missed four games that Portland played that they didn't. So they still have that experience, too. So it's kind of experience on experience, which bodes well for both these clubs. But, you know, if I'm looking at Portland's side, I think they just made a couple of deeper runs. So you're hoping that the veterans can share it down with the younger guys about what it takes to kind of get over playoff hockey, because it's a totally different ball game. Like, somebody who doesn't put up points in the regular season, but they always do the right things, all of a sudden in the playoffs they get rewarded. They might have, you know, 5 points this weekend because they're right in the right spot. They're you know, they're playing the team game. So it's really funny how, like, playoff hockey, everything switches because everyone goes from, I'm not saying this number to badmouth any WHL teams. Let's say they're operating at 80%, right? Like, okay, we're going to play hard. We want to go. We aren't going to burn everything in the tank. Like, it's game 47 of the season. Who cares?
Right.
You know, that, it's one of those type of vibes. But once you're in the playoffs, everything goes up to like 115, 120.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane how much of a jump it has. So I think Portland could hopefully take advantage of that. You know, we'll see. They have a terrific goaltender in Prince George and Ravensburg, and likely the first goaltender taken in the NHL draft this year. And then when you look at the Cougars side, their top six is so good that they're really dangerous. But then one player, you know, to keep an eye on potentially is Tarek Parisak, and what's going on with him. I think he's been injured the last 2 weeks, it looks like, based on the stat sheet. He had 3 goals in his last 5 games going into that injury. So he pretty much scores every single weekend, if not one goal, but plenty more. And he was a, you know, first round pick of the Washington Capitals last year. He's a 18-year-old, so I think he's going to be one too. That if he's in the lineup, they're a completely different team. They don't necessarily quote unquote need him because of how talented they are. But it's one of those, like, it's kind of the same thing with Portland, right? Like, if you remove a Budazzoni, what's the team look like without a Budazzoni? Of course, it takes a knock, right? Like, it's kind of the same thing with Prince George. So I think it's going to be curious to see who kind of dresses. And then it's always funny because I know, as much as you and I love doing previews and stuff, it's so hard to fully know until we get film in March of what this looks like, right? Because all you're doing is the coaches are pulling up pre-scouts and they're looking back at pre-scouts of each other against that December game. And then they're looking at likely the last month of the season, saying, okay, here's what they look like. You know, here's what they did. This team plays similar to last year's, how they attacked it. You know, so like, you're going to film. Like, you're literally relying on film to try to break all this down. It's not like, well, we just played this team 2 weeks ago, here's what happened.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to even kind of preview this because we haven't seen each other since before Christmas, you know, face to face. So I think that's what kind of builds up the excitement, though, of why these first two games of the series are going to be important. And you know, Prince George is going to come out swinging. So hopefully the Winterhawks can kind of do the exact same thing.
Well, to your point too, on the guys who maybe come out of nowhere in the playoffs, I mean, I would argue that's kind of where this run started with Kyle Chizowski last year in the postseason. I mean, you remember,
right?
I mean, he went on, I think he scored 5 straight games with a goal in the playoffs last year. He was dominant against Everett in the second round after they swept Victoria. And then they lose game one in Prince George last year in the conference final. They get shut out 5-0, and you're like, uh-oh, that's not the way you want to start out a series. Fall down early in game two, and he was the kind of icebreaker goal that all of a sudden woke him up. They got going. He gets them on the board, and next thing you know, you end up winning the series. And he went on a huge run in the postseason for him. And that was a team with a lot of heavy hitters, as 20-year-olds who were the offensive driving force, and he wasn't necessarily that last year. And then it kind of translated into this great run this season. And I did want to ask you a couple more thoughts on this series. I'm just curious to ask you, too, when you look around the rest of the West, not that the matchups were a surprise, like we just assumed Seattle was going to get that spot. They're going to play Everett. We end up finding out Victoria and Tri-City and then Spokane and Vancouver. I'm just general thoughts and curiosities about the other matchups in the West, because I think they could all be pretty good series.
I agree. I think there's plenty good series to go around, which is always fun this time. And it's I don't know, curious to see who's going to pop. Like, I feel like Seattle played Everett really well in the regular season. I think they had 2 wins in the 8 games against Everett, so that's not necessarily a walk-in-the-park type of series for the Silvertips. So I'm sure they're going to have to adjust on the fly, and Portland knows well in March how good the Thunderbirds were. The Spokane-Vancouver series, I think that's the one that's maybe most interesting from the perspective of, from my Portland perspective. I could see Spokane running away with that one pretty handedly.
Yeah.
So I think Vancouver's going to have to come out with a big splash and make some statements to try to stop that top line in Spokane, because that's, it's probably the best line in the Western Conference, to be honest. That Cat and Crystal and Van Olm line, they're just sensational. And then the final one, too, with Tri-City and Victoria, kind of another one of those interesting ones, because we knew officially going into the last week of the regular season, it would either be Portland, Victoria, Tri-City PG, or Portland, Prince George, Tri-City, Victoria,
right?
Very likely, because I didn't think there was like probably like a 5% chance that Tri-City was going to pass Vancouver in the standings, and they obviously couldn't, so they sat in that 7th seed. And that one's curious too, because kind of like a big team in Tri-City. They're trying to get rolling. The goals have been there. They played well defensively. They've been a little bit of a roller coaster second half. And then Victoria has been this like steady climbing team where their offensive power has been pretty strong down the stretch. And I was curious if they were going to actually be able to catch Prince George. I'm surprised in a way that they did. But when you look at their roster makeup and you see them against Portland kind of firsthand,
yeah,
you see how good they are and how structured they are defensively. So I think they're going to be a really difficult team, but it's interesting because right now, if the high seeds move on, it makes for an interesting second round. If you're Portland, you're trying to be one of the, play spoilers of that one and at least get that 5-4 upset. And then everything does get rejuggled, by the way, for the second round. So for fans, like let's say Seattle upset Everett in round one. Well, then, just because that's the 1-8 matchup, it doesn't mean they play the 4-5 matchup. It now means, well, then if number 2 seed moves on, who technically for the second round is going to be Spokane, because the BC division champs, just because they were the champions, they're no longer the higher seed. It goes by points in round two. So it's kind of the way of giving a little boost to the team that wins the division and make sure that they play the 7 or the 8 seeds. But then everything else after that, like, we'll see that, especially in the Eastern Conference. It's like, that's the crazier one. Honestly, I wish I knew more hands-on stuff, Andy, but I could dive into the East if we want to just a little bit. But it's fun then, because, as playoff goes on, there's so much excitement with it and things happen as a team wins or upsets. And
right.
it's just like this weird, weird journey. Last year was funny though, because it pretty much went chalk. Like everything went, okay, it was 1 versus 8, 1 wins, 2 right. versus 7, 2 wins. Like, because when it got down to the end, I think it was best on best on both sides. It was U.S. champ Portland versus B.C. champ Prince George. On the other side, it was Saskatoon who won the East, mm-hmm. and Moose Jaw with the Central. So it was like, okay, well, this is kind of fun when you get like literally the top 4 teams that the WHL put out. They were all there in the finals. So will that happen again? Obviously, this is when it kind of starts.
Yeah, it's like the NCAA tournament right now. Everybody's complaining about Cinderellas, but then you get to the end of it and you're like, well, all the good teams are still in, so that's kind of cool. We get the best teams who were throughout the regular season, and they're going to be playing
right.
in the conference finals. So there's a benefit to that as well, I think, for the fan bases. I'm with you on Spokane. To me, they're the team I circle in the West the most, that I was happy that Portland avoided the 6th seed. I wanted nothing to do with that top line in the first round. That just is they are a wagon, it feels like, offensively. Maybe they don't have enough defense to go on a deep run. We'll have to wait and see on that, but I'm glad that they avoided Spokane. One, interesting aspect of this, buddy, we were just talking about it before we started recording, where I know everybody's looking at matchups. Who could you play? Could be Victoria, could be Spokane, could be Prince George. Then you find out you're in the 5 seed in UK. All right, it's either going to be Prince George or it's likely going to be Victoria, one of the two, and you get Prince George, which is a very long bus trip, so it's a long travel. But the benefit there, and we could talk more about this, in depth next week, because we'll be over at the VMC recording and we'll get some players on. Didn't quite work out this week with the schedule with practice and getting ready to go and the long bus trip. But getting that Friday night home game for a game 5. Now, you got to get to a game 5, so you got to win a game. But if they win a game this weekend, you're guaranteed to have that game 5 at home. And those weekend home games are so big come playoff time, of just the balance that I'm thinking, that went into your head of, all right, that's a long bus trip. That sucks. But it's a 2-3-2 format instead of a 2-2-1-1-1 format.
Right. Well, that's kind of what goes back to my first point, Andy, of, you know, if you steal one of these games at the CN Center this weekend, then all of a sudden now it's 1-1, you know, and you're going back to Portland and you go, now we just win three home games and we advance. Like, we don't have to worry about going back to Prince George.
Yeah.
It's going to happen that way. Who knows, right? Way easier spoken here than done. But I think that's what makes it exciting, because you're right. Like, having a weekend home game is extremely nice, especially when it's into April. And you get a kind of a chance for everybody to get to know all these players, this series, and kind of get back into the playoff spirit themselves, right? Because even the fans have to go from regular season fans to playoff fans. Like, there's always an uptick in that, which I love. I know there's going to be a big crowd at the CN Center this weekend. Hopefully there's a big crowd for games 3 and 4 in Portland on Tuesday and Wednesday. And by the way, just for the fans too, there's a couple of watch parties that just got announced. So if you're listening to this before we dropped the puck to the playoffs, that game one on Friday night in Prince George, there's actually a watch party at Cartside,
awesome,
which is the PDX food carts right next to the VMC. And then on Saturday for game two, which Friday is a 7 p.m. puck drop, Saturday is a 6 p.m. puck drop, Grains of Wrath up in Washington, in Camas. I think it's a Camas address. That's the house of our second watch party in the playoffs. So both watch parties you can go to on Friday and Saturday, which is exciting. And then, like you said, Andy, obviously the perfect world, hopefully your last home game isn't that Tuesday or that Wednesday next week. And you obviously want to keep playing playoff hockey, especially on home ice. So hopefully by then the teams will at least both have a win. You'll be enjoying some VMC hockey on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night would be a lot of fun to get to that game, whether it's if you're down 3-1, you get one more home game to try and extend the series and go back to PG. If it's a 2-2 series, you get that bonus home game to try and, all right, now we just got to go win one game in PG to try and win the series. Or, hell, let's go pie in the sky. You're up 3-1 and you get a chance to close this thing out at home. That's a nice benefit that you could have. And, hey, let's not make one more bus trip back to Prince George, right? Let's just stay here, win this thing, and let's advance to the second round. I'm curious to ask you, buddy, it's been interesting to watch the goaltenders late in the season, where I think the game split ended up being 47 for Štětek and 30 for Schlenker. Both were good. Both had moments, ups and downs. They're both rookies, right? So that was expected. I don't know if Kyle has said anything, if he's given away a blueprint, what your thoughts are, but just on if we see both, if we see one, if there's a back and forth on how they handle that position in the playoffs.
Yeah, I haven't seen a blueprint yet, and I feel like the coach would keep that close to the chest, regardless going into the series. But just the Nick Merrick opinion, it probably looked like they'd been grooming Štětek to try to be that number one come playoff time, with just the extra workload he had in the second half of the season. So I'd probably say it's safe to expect he's likely the Friday night starter, against Prince George. Has a little bit more experience against them too. I think he had 3 of the 4 starts in the regular season against the Cougars. So, and actually he played some of his best hockey at the CN Center in October. So maybe you could tap back into that too. It's hard to carry that forward as a rookie into the WHL's playoffs, but you know, there's been players who have done it. Look at a Ravensburg last year, how sensational he was in the postseason. So it's just kind of like, are you ready for that mental uptick there? That's just my prediction going into Friday. And if Schlenker needs to step in, he is 1,000% going to be ready for any point in this series too. So I think that's one thing that's interesting. Like, there's been that battle, which is extremely healthy. Like, it's nice to have that goaltending battle, because then you just give the team options. I know the players are confident with both netminders, but you know, it's in the grand scheme of things, it's two rookie backstops, right? Like, it's kind of what happened a couple of years ago in the postseason run when you had, I guess a little different, but they were both kind of the same spot. Like, you had a couple of veterans there in Spoonar and Januzzi. So it was like, which way are you going to go, right? You're going to go with the 19-year-old or the 18-year-old. You're going to go with the 19 or 20-year-old. You know, you're kind of playing that. Do I go for it now? Do I try to groom somebody else as well? Do I split? So those questions always kind of come up during a series. And, you know, if teams need to shake things up, that could be a spot too, where it's pretty easy to be able to go back and forth between both Štětek and Schlenker, because they'll both be ready for this series regardless.
I think it's a good problem to have, right, where you got a little bit of trust in each guy and you're not worried about, okay, if one has a bad game or one, we got to pull one because it gets out of hand or whatever the case may be. You feel good about the other guy that you're putting in, because they both played so well at times this year, and Schlenker was so good down the stretch for you. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Good problem to have, two goaltenders that you trust come playoff time. Set the scene for me before before I get some final thoughts on the first two games, and then we'll kind of wrap this bad boy up. Obviously, I have a longer episode coming next week after the first two games. We'll be able to react to all of it, get some players on the pod and all that. What's the scene? What, just, you know, kind of paint me a picture. What's Prince George looking like this time of year? What's the weather look like? You guys get up there, I believe, yesterday. Got a practice day today. What else is going on today in Prince George as you guys get ready for game one tomorrow night?
No, it's a little chilly up here. A little, you know, not terrible, but it's funny because we're hearing all the rumors, not rumors, but we're hearing the news of, you know, the tornadoes and the hail that was coming through Portland. We're like, well, we just avoided that by a couple hours, it looks like. So maybe a little bit calmer up here than it was in Portland, or at least the mental side of it. I was, you know, everyone was checking in from our staff side with families, and the players checking the billet families. It didn't seem like too many people were affected by it, or, you know, there was a little bit of rain, but nothing crazy, which is good.
Yeah.
But I remember I was getting texts from people from out of the state being like, what's going on in Portland? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to Prince George.
I'm a little bit further north right now. I'm not sure.
Yes. So from that regard, it's a little bit different, I suppose, but it's still, you know, it's still a little chilly. Nothing bad though. It's like, for me, I'm always a guy who, I run hot. So I'm in a light, like, sweatshirt. Everyone always teases me like, you're in a t-shirt or a polo neck, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like burning.
Yeah.
So usually on that person, everybody else is in, you know, in zip ups and jackets and whatnot. But in terms of what else going on up here, it's hard because we're also, you know, attacking this weekend.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's much else besides hotel rink. And just kind of jumping back and forth between the two to make sure everyone's ready, or you know, you're meeting and stuff. And it's funny because then you're trying to carry on everything from, you know, my duties from work from afar. So we're plugged into the computer and trying to check it out. I'll tell you what, though, I'll be glad once I don't have to worry about doing anything else on the bus.
Yeah.
Because that's always the best when you can at least just be at a hotel. And you know, once you're situated, you're like, okay, I get all my stuff done. But then we have to go back to Portland. Like, nobody bugged me yet on Saturday night, Sunday. Like, I'm not doing it till we're back home. It's so, you know, it's just so different to do. I don't know. It's always harder to do work there too. So it's tough to paint the scene because there's not much going on. Like, it's a, you know, in a way, it's kind of a quote unquote boring trip from the perspective of it's a complete business trip. You're prepping for playoff hockey, so it's a different animal. It's not like, let's go on a walk to the park, see what's going on over here. It's like I'm hammering stuff on the computers. Players are all dialed in, focused. There's just a different energy around it.
I love it, man. A business trip indeed. Well, I'll get you out here on this one, buddy. And you could go anywhere you want with it. Could be easy, could be obvious, could be somebody down the depth chart a little bit. Who give me an X factor for the first two games. What player do you circle and say he's an X factor for game one and game two in PG?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Well, I gave my Prince George X factor. We think it's Parisak if he's back.
Yep.
Andy, we can go a bunch of ways with this one. You threw me a curveball. I'm swinging for it out of the zone here.
Let's go.
I haven't even had time to think about this. Like, I almost need to see the games. I'll go with kind of the safe one here and just go with like an Alex Weiermeier or a Joel Plante. Because there are a couple of veterans, of course. So what's that going to do with the locker room?
Yeah.
Like, do they know what WHL playoff hockey is like? From Plante, he had it in the BCHL. From Weiermeier, he had it at Denver making the championship run where it was one game in advance. And every single game was a huge focus. But, you know, he wasn't playing the biggest minutes then like he is now. So I think those two could be decent wild card factors, both 19s. So then they're both veterans. The old cliche before this NCAA ruling was you win championships with your 19s. So can those guys really help orchestrate this? Because they weren't in the cards at the beginning of the season. So it's almost like a couple of gifts, if you will. And they've been terrific all season long. So it's not like I'm not putting the pressure on them by saying that, but it's more of, you know, what are we going to see from them in playoff hockey? And it'll be kind of excited to see what they bring, because we just don't know it as a Portland fan base of what those two could bring in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you. Weiermeier to me is such a big piece for them. And he has been since he came over to add the extra offensive punch that he brings. He's so good on the power play. And you gave a great power play stat earlier. That's such an anomaly for a team in Portland, especially who's been relatively good on the power play for the majority of the season, to have those numbers against a team like Prince George. George. He might be a different, you know, ingredient, maybe part of the reason why the numbers weren't where they were, you know, for the majority of the regular season against Prince George on the power play. So I can't wait, buddy. Right. Game one tomorrow night, Friday night. Game two Saturday night. You mentioned it, 7 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Watch parties going on. So go find all the information. I cannot wait to listen to the call. I can't. Nothing beats playoff hockey, and it is finally here. We'll be over at the VMC when you guys get back. I'm sure you'll be a little groggy on Monday, but we'll be there anyways, getting ready to recap the first two games and get you set for the home games. Have great calls, buddy. A safe trip back, and hopefully a 2-0 Portland lead the next time we talk.
Yeah, that sounds phenomenal, Andy. If all that can come true, appreciate you giving me a buzz so we could do this. And for the fans, I'm excited for postseason hockey. I'm sure you are too. Sorry, I didn't really know how to go in depth extremely for this preview. Like I, you know, we just got to find out what happens in game one. But hey, as they say in playoffs, let's let the games begin. Let's enjoy this run.
To see the manager man, he came from his office, said, "Son, can I help you?" Looked at him and said, "Yes." Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.